Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, glad you're back with us here on the Mark Cox Morning Show. Hey, be careful out there if you live in the city. Apparently, the city staff is now aware that you might have ice on your streets. It's only taken 9, 10, 11 days now. No big deal. But don't worry, because the thing they've been waiting for is warmer weather, and apparently that's going to hit tomorrow, the next day. I don't know what to tell you. I know it's not just a problem in the city, but it's a bigger problem in the city because of their longtime policy of not dealing with side streets. And that has been a little bit, just a little bit of a nightmare for a lot of folks. So hopefully you're not having to deal with that too much this morning. We hope. We're keeping an eye on this ceasefire deal in Israel. And maybe Jim Talent can comment on this a little more when we get him on in the next segment, because there have been celebrations they're reporting throughout parts of Gaza where the Palestinians are celebrating that the hostilities might stop, even though they started them in the first place. And now there's been some sort of a glitch. Netanyahu saying that it's not clear Hamas is going to comply and they don't know that this is going to happen. So if we get any updates during this show, we will, of course, let you know. There are more confirmation hearings this morning again as well, kicking off about the time our show is over in 2 hours at 9 a.m. So we'll talk about all that coming up here with Jim Talent in just a couple of minutes. And at the bottom of the hour, we're going to talk to a medical doctor about the truth or fiction of the cancer risk of drinking alcohol, any alcohol, because that's what the government came out and said in a report a week or two ago. And now there's some differing points of view on that. So we will check in with Dr. Matt Chalmers here at about 7:35. First, though, Carl Middleman, let's get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
When he was vice president, he and Obama sort of ushering in the Trump era initially, and then as he's leaving office as president, bringing back Trump and Trumpism stronger and more popular than ever.
Scott Jennings knows how to, like, stick the knife into the Democrats there on CNN and twist it. He's like, Joe Biden and Barack Obama created Trumpism, and now after 4 years of Biden, he's back better than ever.
We need to get dark money. That's that hidden funding behind too many campaigns contributions. We need to get it out of our politics. We need to ban members of Congress from trading stock while they're in the Congress.
Just out of interest, would that be Act Blue that Ryan Wiggins has been here talking to us about recently? Would that dark money be Act Blue, taking foreign contributions and applying them to domestic campaigns?
When he talks about dark money, does he not remember that just last week he gave the Medal of Honor, Medal of Freedom Award to George Soros?
Thank you, Dana Perino, for pointing out. I pointed it out in a tweet during his speech last night. What is he talking about? This concern of rich people influencing politics. For goodness sake, Soros almost single-handedly funded Kamala Harris's campaign.
Can I answer the question?
Well, my question
I would have plenty of staff. You said, of course you want.
You'll be able to review hundreds of cases on the first day?
I'm not going to mislead this body, nor you.
Yep. Pam Bondi comported herself very well yesterday during these hearings. Can we all agree on that? She had a lot of back and forth with a lot of these senators, and she held her own, particularly with Adam Schiff, who just... pencil-necked geek who just has lied repeatedly about Donald Trump over the years, never stopped with the Russian disinformation, calling him an illegitimate president, pushed the, you know, all of the fake allegations and charges against him, the fake impeachments, everything for all these years. And yesterday, now somehow, this tells you all you need to know about California. The people of California voted this guy to be their senator. For goodness sake, of all the choices they could have had, why would you promote Adam Schiff to the United States Senate? But this is kind of what it sounded like. Go to cut 11, please.
On the subject of price gouging, and we talked quite a bit about the 2020 election. The 2024 election was about the high cost of living. I hope you will demonstrate a willingness to go after anyone who's engaged in price gouging. I think the oil companies are engaged in price gouging. The price at the pump in California is through the roof. Are you willing to take on even powerful interests like the oil industry if you determine that they are gouging consumers?
This guy won't stop. I mean, it's just nonstop. He attacked her yesterday. I thought that was pretty funny. Once again, and I mentioned this at the top of the show this morning, AI won the day. AI wins the internet again with the Bondi Schiff interaction, which they completely doctored this. I'll just warn you about that in advance. It didn't really happen yesterday, but it should have. Carl, go to cut 13, please.
So let me start with one very specific, non-hypothetical. The president has said that my head looks like a watermelon. Will you commit to making him stop?
Senator, I feel for you. I really do. But I can't commit to making President Trump stop calling you watermelon head because, to be honest, your head does look like a watermelon. I mean, damn. And how do you even hold that thing straight with that tiny little pencil neck?
I'm sorry. They even added the laughter from the gallery into the back end of that.
But what's funny, too, is that, you know, Trump actually probably would call somebody a watermelon
head.
Well,
I think he did. I think he has said that about Schiff. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, he's called him a pencil neck and wondered how his head, how that thin neck holds that fat head up. And I mean, he's said all kinds of things about Schiff over the years. So I wouldn't be surprised if he actually said that. But Schiff didn't ask her that question yesterday. How they make the voices so good, you're going to get to a point in America where if it doesn't say AI at the bottom of it, you really have to check the source of what you're watching. Because if I played that for you and didn't tell you it was AI, it sounded just like Pam Bondi and it sounded just like Adam Schiff. I don't know how they do it. I don't pretend to know how they do it. All I know is that it's something we've got to wrap our arms around, or we're in for a world of deception moving forward in many, many ways, for sure. All right, quick break here. Jim Talent on the other side of the break here. Obviously, I'd love to get his thoughts on the Israel deal and the nomination hearings so far. We'll be right
back. So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Right back.
Look, I want to be clear for folks at home. I don't want a Republican Department of Justice. I don't want a Democrat Department of Justice. I want a Department of Justice that follows the damn law.
All right, former Senator Jim Talent joining us this morning. Obviously, that was Senator Ted Cruz there during the Pam Bondi nomination hearings yesterday, Jim. And several senators, including Senator Kennedy, brought up something very similar. How do you feel about it?
Well, it sounds good to me. And I imagine I'm pretty certain that's what Pam Bondi has in mind and what Donald Trump has in mind. They've got a big task in front of them. But, the beginning of accomplishing it is deciding exactly what you want to do and feeling very confident about it. I mean, they're not apologizing for it. They're going out defending it. It's so important, Mark, because, of all the clean out the swamp things, this is the one that's most necessary because it's been the most corrosive. This idea of a double standard of justice and the way certain people are persecuted and then other people are just, like Hunter Biden, are let off the hook. I mean, we couldn't have a bigger example of somebody being placed above the law than that.
Yeah, well, I would agree. Have you watched any of these hearings? Have you seen some of the questioning either of Hegseth or Bondi yesterday?
I watched almost all of the Hegseth hearing. I did not watch the Bondi hearing. I'm interested in defense issues.
Yes.
And also, I think I was pretty certain Bondi was going to get confirmed, and she is. I was worried about Hegseth, but I think he's going to be fine now.
Yeah, I think that after watching him, I mean, anybody who didn't know much about him or thought he was some sort of a lightweight on policy issues or defense issues, I think were probably a little surprised.
Yeah, when they got into those questions, unfortunately, too much of it, revolved around issues that the Democratic senators thought were hot button issues, like women in ground combat roles. Which is not that hot button an issue because it's been a question or debate for a long time. And the position Hegseth has taken is exactly the right one, which is because we're talking about ground infantry combat in the Army or the Marines, basically. And there are standards you have to meet there if the mission is going to be successful and if we're going to avoid unnecessary casualties. And it's common sense to believe, for example, one of the standards is you should be able, if there's a comrade on the field who has been wounded, you should be able to pick him up and carry him off the field. Now, this is common sense tells us this is a standard. It's difficult for anybody to meet, but that more men can meet it than women. And what Hegseth is saying is we're not going to sacrifice lives for the sake of, political correctness or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it's really not very controversial.
No, I agree.
But of course,
yeah,
they tried to make it so. Yeah,
even as a woman, I can understand that, and I totally get that argument. I wanted to ask your take on this whole ceasefire thing between Israel and Hamas, because initially it sounded like things were good to go. Now it sounds like maybe not so much. Have you been following all of this?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out the same thing you are, Kim, which is, number one, did we really have a deal? I think, well, a couple of things. First of all, it's, in my opinion, no coincidence that if we get this deal and if it's similar to what Israel's always been willing to offer, that the Trump inauguration being a week away is one of the reasons for it, because I'm sure that Hamas and especially Iran are concerned about what President Trump meant when he said there's going to be hell if we don't get these hostages out. Number two, Israel's always been willing to agree to a time-limited ceasefire and to return some prisoners if they got the hostages up front.
Yes.
What Israelis have said is, we're not going to let you pick the prisoners. We're going to pick the prisoners. We're not going to leave the Philadelphia corridor, and we're going to reserve the right to go back in if we need to anytime we want to. And that sounds like this deal. So if this is the deal, then this is how we're going to get these hostages back. Normally, you don't want to make a hostage trade because it encourages more hostage taking in the future. But in this context, where Hamas has been basically obliterated, I don't think their takeaway from this is going to be, oh, we really benefited from taking those hostages. I think the takeaway is, for a rational actor, is let's not do this again to Israel.
But clearly they still have hostages. We know that, right? If they give up 33 of them, they still have hostages. My point is, from the Israeli perspective, will they? They're never going to be willing to give up the last hostage, because at that point they lose all leverage.
Yeah, I think that's a real concern. But on the other hand, you get back those you can. And I will say that Israel is in a different situation than most countries, because while all of us want our countrymen and women back when they're taken hostage, in the ethos of the Jewish state, and you have to listen to Israeli commentators to understand this, the idea of leaving a Jew behind in these circumstances is anathema to them. I mean, it's very, very deep in the ethnic and national soul. So I can't, you know, even if as a matter of pure policy, you might say, well, we can't reward these people in any way for taking hostages. I get it. I understand why they're doing what they're doing. And as I said, a deal like this, I think it's been available for a long time. Hamas has always rejected it, but this time they understand that the United States is coming in on Israel's side because our interests are the same as theirs, and they better do it, or something worse is around the corner.
Yeah, then there's a new sheriff in town. We're talking to Senator Jim Talent. You know, I watched the president's farewell speech last night. I mean, the standard I compare all these to is Ronald Reagan's years ago, and it was kind of dark. I mean, I maybe he's just trying to salvage his legacy here, but warning about oligarchs and rich and poor, and when he's getting a bunch of his funding from somebody like George Soros, I just don't know that he convinced anybody of anything last night. How'd you feel?
No, I got to be honest. I didn't watch it. I read something about it this morning.
Yes.
The first question I have, Mark, is who's drafted it? In other words, who are we really hearing?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I honestly don't know. People have said this for a while, and it was very valid, that we don't know who's running the White House. I really don't know who's been running the White House the last couple of months. It'd be very interesting to ask, who wrote the speech, because I don't think Biden did or really had much to do with it. So he's on the way out. I think he's just making his legacy even worse, if that's possible. But he'll be gone in a week.
Jim, you going to D.C. Monday?
I am not. I'm going later in the week. I'm intensely interested in what the president says in his inauguration speech. Intensely interested. And I think it's really going to send some signals. I don't think it's going to be like his first speech, which was a "we're going to clean out the swamp" speech. Appropriate. I want to see where he's going with this one, and I don't have a strong idea, but I think it's going to be. I guess if I had to guess, it's going to be more of a unity speech. I think the president feels that way. I think he feels confident. He knows what he can do. He's now the unquestioned leader of the Republican Party. Mm-hmm. All segments, I think, are thrilled with him. And it's going to be very interesting to see what he says.
All right. Jim Talent, we appreciate your time. Thank you.
Anytime, guys.
Yes, sir. Talk to you soon. Appreciate that. Good to get him on. We'll find out what he thinks about that speech next week. How about that? All right. How dangerous is it to drink any amount of alcohol? We're going to talk to a medical doctor about that when we come back. Well, you know, I don't know. Whenever I was a television news anchor, we'd rush out every study that landed in the inbox, right? New study on this or that, or the one on alcohol that came out a couple weeks ago. Any alcohol is poison. You shouldn't do it. Could cause cancer, blah, blah, blah. And stocks dropped for all the major liquor companies in America when that news came out. And now there's news that, well, maybe it's not that bad. Maybe moderate drinking could actually help some people. What is one to believe? I don't know. We have Dr. Matt Chalmers on the phone this morning. He works in health and vitality and all of that great field. And Dr. Chalmers, good morning to you. How are you?
I'm well. How are you, sir?
You're a healthy living expert. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
So does that include drinking alcohol or not?
Well, it depends a lot on the person and how much.
Okay.
So, you know, everything's really kind of tied to an individual person. So this study is kind of an interesting position because it puts a lot of where a lot of stuff in the world is how much and for who.
Yeah, when the study came out and it basically drew the conclusion that no amount of alcohol is good for you, that seemed to be painting with a broad brush, because for years you were told, a glass of red wine or two a week can help you with this or that. I mean, I don't know. Has the position changed that much?
It really hasn't. So what we're talking about, and a lot of people who have been drinking, one a day can relate to this. When you have that, when you're done with the day and the craziness of the day, and you start to take that one drink, whether it's the glass of wine or your scotch, whatever it is, then you take it and you go, and you can just feel the day wash off you. You can feel yourself kind of unwind. What that is you shifting neurologically from sympathetic, which is fight, flight, freeze, back to parasympathetic, which is resting, digesting. That neurologic change controls a lot of things in your body, and it is really, really important we make that change. So that first drink is really, really good for you, but on the other side of it, we continue to do that. Alcohol is received by our body as a poison, and so it does create some issues in excess.
Moderation, right? I mean, at the end of the day.
Yes, sir. Exactly. Yeah.
We saw that you just did a podcast the other day about processed foods, and I talk a lot about that because we've heard RFK Jr. and a number of people talking about these seed oils and how dangerous they are, the preservatives, the chemicals. I mean, red dye number 3 that thankfully the FDA just banned. What's your take on this? Because we spend so much money on healthcare here in the United States, and we're incredibly unhealthy.
Well, the thing is that, and this is one of the things I love about RFK is kind of coming, riding this wave of a lot of Americans are very angry with where we are health-wise right now, and we recognize these poisons that are in our food, and we're trying to get them out. So what's really, really nice is that we're starting to get more and more research. The censorship is starting to drop on a lot of this stuff, and so we're able to start recognizing how bad these processed foods are for us and how much. Basically, this is the way I tell everybody, the more man messes with stuff, the worse it gets for you.
Right.
You know, I guess my question, and we're talking to Dr. Matt Chalmers, who's a healthy living expert. My question for that is, how do we unwind that? Like a couple years ago, we traveled to Italy with my daughter, who has a gluten allergy, but she was able to eat the pasta and everything in Italy because it's made differently. Is it even possible to unwind this in America to get back to that?
It is. Anything is possible if we're willing to do the work. That's the first thing we always have to remember. So, like, one of the reasons that we have gluten issues here but not other places in the world is we hybridized our wheat so that it has 300% more protein or 300% more gluten than other places. So if you have if you're sensitive to gluten and you're eating 3 times the normal amount, it's going to present in a much more aggressive way. So when you go to Italy and you eat the wheat that has no glyphosate on it and it doesn't have as much gluten, it's a lot easier for people. So if we recognize this is where we want to go, we just have to make it as a market change, say we want these things and the market will adapt to us and the government will sooner or later adapt to that as well.
How long do you think that'll take? Like, do you think RFK really can make some traction, assuming that he's confirmed? Because surely these big food companies are pushing back, like Kellogg's and all these companies that put this crap in our food. They're paying big bucks for their lobbyists to try to say, don't do this.
You know, yes, I think he can. The only reason that RFK would be successful is if the rest of us get behind him and back him. Because think of it this way. You know, 10 years ago, there weren't any gluten-free things on the shelves. There weren't keto stuff on the shelves. Because the market, the people have demanded it, and we're willing to spend our money on it, and we're talking about it, the market has shifted, and so we've gotten these products in. So if RFK says we should get rid of this thing, and we all go, okay, cool, and we start buying the things that doesn't have it in it, One, it's easier to for them, the government, to then say, see, we need to move this way. But it's also easier for people making the product to go, oh, okay, we're not going to make money if we poison people, but we will make money if we don't poison them. And that's going to how the shift really needs to happen.
Well, it's a great point. We talked to Dr. Matt Chalmers. You can follow him if you're on the X at Dr. Chalmers 1, the numeral 1. Here's a question for you. I've seen some stuff that's gone viral recently with Mel Gibson claiming he's had a couple of friends, you know, saved from cancer by taking ivermectin. I saw you made some comments on that in a podcast the other day. What's the truth about that?
So we're starting to see, again, as the censorship's starting to fall, we're starting to see a lot more research come out. So fenbendazole and ivermectin have been used now for in the alternative world for cancer function for a while, and we're starting to see really good results from it. So, for instance, fenbendazole breaks down the microtubule function that cancer uses to grow, so it slows the cancer growth down enough the body can actually kill it. There's a lot of parasitic infections people have that are radically reducing our health and our ability to fight. The ivermectin helps knock those things out, and so we end up getting kind of a two-prong approach to getting the body healthier, and as the body gets healthier, the body can fight off the cancer better, and so that's where we're seeing the benefit of the cancer.
But we don't, I mean, we don't have independent evidence of whatever Mel was talking about. It's just that was his opinion he was suggesting there, you think?
We do actually have research on both ivermectin. Ivermectin won the Nobel Prize in medicine, I want to say in 2016, for its ability for curing tropical diseases.
Yes.
So there's a lot of research on ivermectin. Fenbendazole has been around for a little bit. We do have research on it, like I said, breaking down the microtubule formation. So there is clinical research on it. It's just not being used in high enough quantities for us to say, oh, hey, we had 1,000 people in this study that all got better or all got worse or whatever from it. But I guarantee you those studies are being taken place right now.
Yeah. Dr. Chalmers, tell people where they can hear your podcast that you're doing all the time.
Yeah, it's Dr. Chalmers, the number one. It's on Facebook, Instagram, and it's on X. We try to make as much stuff on X as possible because when I went over how to fix COVID a couple of years ago, it was not received well from the social media community.
Yeah, I'll bet. Yep, I'll bet. In the pillarsofwellness.com, is that your website?
Yes, sir. Pillarsofwellness.com, and the book is also Pillars of Wellness.
Excellent. Hey, Dr. Chalmers, thanks for your time today.
Anytime. Thank you.
You bet. Interesting conversation there with him on that because, you know, I've been a proponent of ivermectin and its many uses during COVID, mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, I took ivermectin.
It's what got me banned from YouTube when they were banning people with thoughts that they didn't want to hear because we had on people like my friend Dr. Stephen Crawford down in Jefferson County, who was talking about the tremendous success he had treating elderly people with COVID, the great success rate of survivability if they were treated quickly enough. But if you went to the one of the medical centers here in St. Louis County, for example, like I went to my medical doctor up here and said, if I start to get COVID, will you prescribe ivermectin for me? And he said, no, it's not part of our protocol. Mm-hmm. You couldn't get it in St. Louis County.
Yep.
I had to go to a individual pharmacy, a private pharmacy, not private, but an independent pharmacy in Jefferson County to get it when I was diagnosed. And the difference was immediate.
Isn't that pathetic?
It was immediate.
They were not the individual doctor, but as a system, they were denying
yes.
people a medicine that was helping people. That really grinds my gears.
How many more lives might have been saved?
Yeah, you have to ask the question. To his point, he talked about, you know, I asked the question, will we actually see change under RFK, assuming he's confirmed? And he's saying, well, really, we dictate that. If we demand this as consumers, you will see a shift. And it's funny because I was thinking after he said that, you know, I've been noticing more products are saying no seed oils. People weren't really talking about the danger of seed oils until pretty recently. I mean, we've heard about it, but it's really been blown up recently. And so for a company to use that as kind of a marketing tactic to get someone to buy their product, that would catch my attention.
I agree.
Organic, words like that. You see a lot of those boxes saying organic. Like someone was saying they found like organic animal crackers. I'm not quite sure how you can have an organic animal cracker, but it's like there's trigger words that now people as consumers are looking for. Now, the standards maybe are not quite as high as they should be on that, on how what it takes to say that, but step in the right direction, I guess.
I would support meat
made in plants.
I can't even
meat
take,
processing
I can't
plants.
Even, okay, I was like, I can't even take you seriously. You would never eat an Impossible Burger, Mark. You would,
it would be
that
impossible.
Would come right
back up. Oh, man. What are we talking about on Kevin and Wim today?
Have you seen this viral video going around where the Eagles fan went off
yes.
on a female Packers
yes.
fan? Now the guy lost his job over it. Let's talk
the
about it.
The cost of social media. We'll be right back.
Kim on a Wim.
If you haven't seen this video already, you need to go watch it. It's of an Eagles fan who went off on some female Packers fan at the game. The woman standing in front of him, and it was, you know, probably some stupid play he was mad about. And
they were reviewing the play.
Okay,
the play. And it went the Eagles' way.
So this guy starts calling this woman
ugly,
dumb C-word.
Yeah, yeah.
And
that's
the woman's
not on camera.
On camera.
Well, the first time.
Oh, it's not on camera.
It's not on camera. And then the guy turned on the camera and then he repeated
it. So the woman's fiance is who was recording this. Now, this Eagles fan is lucky that the fiance didn't turn around and punch the guy in the face, because my husband would have wanted to do that. But basically, this video goes viral and the guy's employer ends up seeing it. And turns out they've said he is no longer working with the company. Guy was fired over it. He was, I guess, working for the New Jersey consulting firm BC Partners. And they had come out and issued a statement. They said the language was vile. It was disgusting. It was unacceptable and horrific.
And maybe he sues for wrongful dismissal. But the Eagles also banned him for life from
yes,
any future
did.
Football games.
Yes.
Right?
They were absolutely in the right. Every employer has to realize that they represent their company, whether they're actually at the office or they're at a football game. People have to know nowadays everyone's whipping out their phone and recording everything. And if you want to go and act like a disgusting pig and treat somebody like that, you should know that could get posted on social media. And when you use language that disgusting, it could go viral.
And he has a wife and daughter.
That's even worse. I didn't even know that. I'm hoping he's not teaching his daughter to treat women or anybody like that. But I do not have any problems with this company firing him over it. Zero. I don't think he has a case for wrongful termination.
I'm surprised it took him as long as it did to figure out who he was. But
It was pretty quick.
So back to the husband. Right?
The fiance?
The fiance or whatever who's filming the whole thing.
They're in Green Bay gear in Philly.
Yeah. You have to be prepared to take some grief for that. Nobody deserves what happened.
No.
What I'm saying is the guy said, you got something to say about that?
You want to take this outside?
And the husband didn't say anything. Now, I don't know about any of you, and it's going to be a probably game time decision, but most guys I know at that point are in a fist fight with this guy, and then you're both getting kicked out. I mean, that's the decision you make, because try convincing the security people that one's more guilty than the other one if you're fighting with someone.
But you're in Green Bay outfit in Philadelphia. Are you think it would be a one-on-one?
Probably not.
It would be 10 guys beating up on this Green Bay Packer fan.
This Eagles fan comes out and makes an apology and says he deeply regrets it. And he said some things that were unacceptable in the heat of the moment. He said he wants to apologize to this woman and to his wife, family, and friends, and former employer.
Yeah. I guess if you ever hope to have another job, what's his name?
It is Caldwell. Let me see his first name. I just had it pulled up.
Okay.
Is it Andy Caldwell?
Okay.
Anyway, yeah, I don't know. Hold on.
Mud. His name is Mud now.
See, this is going to bother me. Now I need to know. And I just had it pulled
up. That's
okay. I saw it this morning.
Anyway, he says there are two sides to every story. The video clip circulating online does not reflect the full context of what transpired and my actions.
Did she turn around and call you something first?
I will live with this experience, and I am certainly paying a personal price. For those who don't know me, this incident does not reflect my values, doubt that, or the respect I have for others, and is not indicative of the person that I am.
So let me tell you, again, to Carl's point, a couple of Green Bay Packer fans in Eagle Stadium, in gear, are going to take a lot of abuse. Philadelphia already has a reputation for that.
They threw batteries at Santa Claus.
I don't think Rams fans necessarily had that reputation. But let me tell you, in the year 2000, my cousin
was the number one pick in the NFL draft, and he played for the Cleveland Browns. His name was Tim Couch.
Yeah.
When he came to St. Louis his rookie year to play, I got a media pass to go to the locker room to interview him afterwards, right? I knew his dad. I didn't know him personally. He's like a third cousin. And third or fourth cousin, I don't know. The point is, I wore a Tim Couch Cleveland jersey to that football game. And I went into the bathroom at some point. Now, the Rams were killing them, right? Because they were really, it was the greatest show on turf at that point, I think. And they were much better than Cleveland sucked. They were an expansion team. And they were killing them. And I'm in the bathroom waiting in a long line to get to a urinal. And I hear somebody say, "I'm about to sit on that couch up there. What the hell are you doing wearing a Browns jersey in St. Louis?" And I mean, you've got to have some thick skin if you're going to wear a competitor's jersey to a home game for another team. But yeah. this guy took it far beyond that.
By the way, the guy's name was Ryan Caldwell. That was going to bother me.
Okay.
But you know what? You have to know that your employer could see stuff, and that's why a lot of kids don't realize that what they post on Snapchat, even though they sit there and say it disappears.
Yes.
No, people can video record that. They can screenshot it, and then that's posted and lives forever on the internet. Your employer, 10 years down the road, Googles your name, as they will, and finds it, and you're denied that job, and guess what? Rightfully so.
Woo.
Be careful what you post online.
Absolutely. Coming up, we'll talk to Shannon Bream. I bet she's got some thoughts on the Supreme Court, the upcoming inauguration, maybe some of these nomination hearings. We'll get to her at about 8:20. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.